You are listening to the Project Management Podcast. We bring project management topics to beginners and experts. Find us on the web at pmpodcast.blogspot.com or send your emails to pmpodcast@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to show number 21. I am Cornelius Fichtner. This is the Project Management Podcast for the 25th of February 2006. One of the trends that I saw in the listener survey was that you wanted to hear information about how to become a PMP. I heard you loud and clear, and that's why you will hear today an interview with Dale Brown and his path to passing the PMP exam. Let's get started with a couple of announcements. First, a message from our sponsor. This episode of the Project Management Podcast is sponsored by Enterplicity Project Management Solutions. Project management is not just about the software. Whether you are a small operation or a large corporation, value-added project management must be based on scalable technology, solid processes, and strategic thinking. Learn more about better strategic project management and your organization. Visit www.weneedpm.com. That's weneedpm.com. In the last two shows, I announced a software giveaway for two licenses of VIP Teams To-Do List. And today, the winners. It was a very, very highly technical and highly complex project process on how we actually drew the winners. Well, basically, I printed each email that I got, bunched them up, threw them in a bowl, and my wife drew the lucky ones. And the lucky winners are Nigel Jones from Stonehaven in the UK and Maciej Egermeyer from Poland. Congratulations to both of you. You should shortly receive an email which tells you how to go about to download your new software. In today's helpful resources, I am going to give you stuff to read. Stuff about project management, of course. The reason why I do this is, at the end of the show, you will hear a review of the new podcast by Jerry Manas. And he has a website called PM Think. He and Frank M, Fem PM, and G Mac Hardy, obviously all out of the United States, are writing this blog called PM Think, and they really publish lots and lots of articles every week on new ideas, new topics, out-of-the-box project management thinking. Give that a shot, it's really interesting what they have to say. The second blog is simply called Project Management, and it is by Thushara Vijayavardhana. He is a PMP from Colombo in Sri Lanka. He's actually a recent PMP, and he writes about his personal insights in project management on his projects. Next is the Journix project management blog, which comes to you out of Austin, Texas in the United States. Journix is a company, and they, in their blog, actually write about all aspects of project management. Quite an interesting read as well, and obviously a good way to bring traffic to their website by giving you real value in their writings here. Another person that gives you real out-of-the-box thinking is Hal McComber. I've mentioned him a couple of times before here on the show, and his blog is called Reforming Project Management. He is a speaker and author, and he usually has something different to say about project management. So give that one a shot as well. If you want something that comes to you and that you don't have to go get, why not try the PMO SIG mailing list? This is a mailing list with many, many members, and they send emails to each other and they end up in your inbox. And they have great practitioner value and tons of messages. The subjects that they write about are conflict management, measuring EPO value, online project management tools, project management charters, project management estimation methods, and procurement templates. And that is just Thursday and Friday before I recorded this show. So there's a hell of a lot of messages for you to read and a hell of a lot to learn. So much for this week's helpful resources, and now let's move on to the news. One news item only this week. Once again, it's a slow news week, and this one is about a competition. It is from the 22nd of February, and it is titled New Competition Announced for Project Management Return on Investment. And this is about the George Washington University, the Western Carolina University, and Robbins Gioia, who have launched a competition to honor the contributions of project managers. What this all boils down to is, do you have a great project that brought good ROI, return on investment, to your company? If so, then go ahead and nominate your project for this particular competition until April 10th. What you'd have to do is you'd have to go to www.programmanagement.com/ROI award and simply put in the information about your project, and hopefully you win. And the winners, the awards, will be presented at a ceremony in Washington, D.C. in late spring of this year. So give this a shot. It's always good to have credentials on your project. And that was the news and helpful resources for this week. As always, if you want to read any of these, go to pmpodcast.blogspot.com, where you will find links to each of them. And now, the project management tip of the week. This week's project management tip of the week comes to you courtesy of a seminar that I attended yesterday. And we did one exercise in this seminar. We had to write down a conversation with a team member that could have gone better. And two people in our group pretty much had the same story. One of their team members did not finish their deliverables on time and on the promised date. What can you do? And our little group of four people here, we came up with four good ideas what these two folks could have done in order to communicate this to that particular team member. Well, first of all, don't yell and scream. Stay professional, whatever you do. Second, tell that person that they were late and that you are disappointed in what they did. And tell them also what this delay means to the project. Now that's retroactively. Now you have to go proactive as well, and that's number three here. Make sure to communicate to your team member how important their contribution to the project is as you give them their assignments. If they understand the importance of what they're doing, then they will be less likely not to deliver. Four, you have to build a relationship with your team. Have lunch with them, chat with them in the hallway, give them a chance to get to know you as a person, and vice versa. And finally, let me throw in a number five here. Bribe them. Yes, bribe them. It is not illegal for a project manager to bring treats to the office. Croissants, chocolate, and homemade banana bread are a great way to make the project run smoother. The background music of this week's Tip of the Week was called Merrigan's Reel. It was written and performed by Jim Fiddler. He is from Canada. And as always, you can find music like this one at music.podshow.com. And now on to the main topic of the show. My interview today with Dale Brown is a direct response to the listener survey. In this survey, many of you have asked me to give you some sort of an idea what it takes to become a PMP, and so I deliver. Therefore, if you haven't yet taken that survey and you do have a subject in mind of what you would like to do, there's a link on the blog, by the way, to the survey, please take the survey and I will do my best to answer your request. Now, I have to put in a disclaimer here. This interview was recorded on the 21st of February 2006, and you will hear numbers and eligibility requirements for taking the PMP exam that the PMI has published on their website. Now, the PMI occasionally changes these requirements, and it is your responsibility to stop by at the PMI website and check out their PMP credential handbook, that's what it's called, PMP credential handbook, to make sure that the numbers that you heard here today are still correct and that they haven't yet changed them. Well, what about other credentials, you might say? What about Prince 2 and all the other possible credentials that are out there for becoming a certified project manager? Well, in the end, an exam is an exam. Even if you don't want to take the PMP, if you want to take the Prince 2 exam, you have to prepare and you have to take the exam. Today's show will show you what it takes on the road to becoming certified, no matter which credential you're going to take. And now, here's Dale.
The Project Management Podcast, feature interview. Today, with Dale Brown, IT executive and PMP.
Fellow project managers, with me today is Dale Brown. He is an IT executive and has just recently passed his PMP exam. Well, Dale, welcome to the show and congratulations on passing the exam.
Thank you, Cornelius.
Yeah, well, having just become a PMP, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your career so far up to taking the PMP exam?
All right. Basically, I've been in the information technology vertical for my whole life. I pretty much worked my way up from being a technical programmer and analyst up through the management ranks, director, VP, and ultimately chief information officer. I've worked in five verticals, be aerospace, engineering, manufacturing, insurance, and healthcare. I've just recently relocated from Florida out here to California.
Right.
So I'm doing some consulting work and also interviewing for ideally a VP position for a mid-sized company.
All right. And that was in IT in all of these industries?
Yeah, IT, although my passion is as much people as technology, so okay. I look for jobs that have a real high people interaction content
right.
to it.
Now, in those jobs, have you had PMPs working with you or for you?
Yeah. As probably the audience is aware, all IT people are involved with a lot of projects
because
right. that's what we do for the business. Yeah, I've built project management offices and have gone out and hired directly PMP certified okay. people to handle certain key positions. A lot of the other project management work is done by training internal
right,
people.
Right, right. Did you see a difference between the work that PMPs delivered and the work that non-PMPs delivered?
Yeah, the key difference is there needs to be a baseline knowledge of project management
right.
methodologies and skills. That's why I brought those methodologies and then trained trained internal people because we couldn't afford to hire as many PMPs as we might need on project. But yeah, the just the knowledge of the charter statements and a scope statement and all
right,
the different
right.
documents and materials that you have to have in place, not to mention just the methodology, how to manage,
okay.
how to be detail-oriented, and how to make sure a project meets not only the requirements, but the deliverables, and it meets them on time and on budget. So you need people that have done it, been there, and understand the skills involved.
So why, as an IT executive, did you then choose to become a PMP?
Two reasons. It's been a while since I've really been educated on the fundamentals of project management, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. so I wanted to go back and kind of get a tune-up. And secondly, since I've relocated out here, I've been doing some consulting. And so many of the project management jobs available at a contract consultant level indicate PMP required. So I figured it was a great time to go back and take the classes and get caught up again. So.
All right. So in your case, you had an actual reason for doing it. But do you find that at the moment, PMP is just chic? It's nice to have. It's a fad. Or do you find actual value in PMPs?
Well, for myself, there's a lot of value, but particularly in IT, where the job market has been really tight the last few years, I feel that there's some people that are stretching a little, getting the certification, not really having a passion for project management, but realizing it's a value-added qualifier to have in the resume.
Right.
But recently reading in CIO magazine, so many things are being outsourced, the CIOs interviewed prioritize the things they want to keep in-house, the knowledge, and project management skills were right at the top of the list of skills they felt they needed to retain internally versus externally. Mm-hmm. So I believe in the marketplace, it's a growing skill itself that's really required.
Did you look at any other certifications, or did you just focus on the PMP? Did you think of going, you know, to the UCI maybe and taking their PMP certification? Or
yeah, originally when I decided to do this, I really talked to some friends who were involved with PMI. I had thought about UCI, but it seemed kind of expensive and really drawn out, a longer program. I mean, I graduated from UCI. I looked at other online sources, but ultimately in terms of talking to friends in my network, they recommended that I go through the PMI provided classes, the six Saturday classes, and that was a very cost-effective way to get it done, and that worked for me.
Now, how long did it take you in the end from the moment that you decided, okay, I want to take the exam, till when you pressed the button and it came back and said you passed?
I spent about 4 to 5 weeks after I finished the classes before I took the exam.
Okay, so that's 6 weeks for those classes?
So roughly, right? Yeah, 6 weeks for the classes. And then I took another, I'll be honest, I don't remember, four to six weeks of studying part-time. So I finished the classes, I think, towards the end of October, and I took the classes in December. And the instructors recommend don't wait too long because some of the knowledge will get stale. But I spent probably two, three, 4 hours a day over a period of 4 weeks boning up on stuff before I took the exam.
So you took the six-week preparation course that the PMI here, the local chapter, offers.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about that course. What did they do during that course with you?
Well, the course was, you know, very educational. They stressed, all the instructors, that the 6 weeks of classes are not to teach you how to be a project manager. They teach you how to pass the exam.
Okay.
So they're very focused on exactly the questions on the exam, and they basically, there's two instructors for every class. And basically what they do is they go through the PMBOK, plus in this case they had some secondary research materials from Outer Core, and they basically, we had readings each week. They went through the, in essence, PowerPoints that were in the book. And then we, part of the class, we went through the questions at the end of each one of those books.
Oh, so test questions.
There's test questions in the book, and after they were done with the lecture, then they had everybody take certain exams, and then they walked through all the correct answers, and there was discussion about, you know,
why the questions. Why is C the correct answer, and not B?
As you would expect, starting early in the classes, we missed a lot of the a lot of the questions, but as we got further in the course, we did a little better. But a lot of them were confusing, because just like in the exam, there's a lot of multiple right answers, and which is the best answer.
Right. So for those people who have not yet looked into the PMP exam, we probably have to mention here that the PMP exam is a multiple choice exam, and you take, 200 questions, right?
200 questions.
And you have 4 hours, and each of them has four possible answers, and only one, of course, is correct.
Correct. And also on the exam, there are 25 usually test questions which PMI is evaluating for incorporation.
And they integrate them somewhere.
They're integrated
randomly.
In. You don't know which ones are test or which ones aren't, but they don't only count in your score.
So even though you answered 200 questions, only 175 are
graded.
And then you have a certain number that you have to have a passing score with.
Right. Okay. There's a percent correct you have to get, and that's changed by PMI periodically. For example, I was one of the first groups to take the new exam. They've recently, they change exams every 3 years. Yeah. And well, as I was studying for exam, PMI was actually modifying the level of correct, percentage of correct answers you had to get to pass the exam. Right.
Now, you mentioned that during the class you looked at another book and you also had some questions. Now, let's start with the book. Did you also read any other books that the PMI suggests? I think they have a suggested reading list, right?
They do, although, first of all, the instructors were very specific that the PMBOK, Project Management Book of Knowledge, and the other training material they gave us, which was from Outer Core, they said, this is enough to pass the exam.
Okay.
You really don't need any more. But if you do, you know, here's a recommended list of additional things. And I'd say part of the class went ahead and purchased additional either test, sample test, or other books to study.
Yeah. So did you personally buy a study guide?
I didn't, but we did break up into study groups, which the PMI recommends as part of your education. And a number of the people, what we did is we shared some of the information and knowledge we had.
Yeah.
Cybex, a number of people bought the Cybex book,
right.
And particularly the test exams. What I focused on was the additional CD of sample test questions.
The one which is in the Cybex book.
In the Cybex.
Okay. Now, I remember when I took the class, I went through exactly the same 6 weeks as you did. The PMIOC, actually, they gave you Rita Mulcahy's book. Sort of, they have a library, and are they still doing that?
No. In our class, they did not give us Rita's. A lot of the instructors said they bought Rita's materials, particularly the flashcards they used for the terminal. No, Outer Core. They gave us two books from Outer Core that we studied.
So they're focusing solely on Outer Core at the moment.
Outer Core, and the acquisition of the PMBOK was your responsibility as a student. You needed to buy that and bring that to class with
you. Did you personally get involved with any of the online PMP prep simulation courses that are available out there? Did you take the test before you actually took the test online?
No, I mean, I looked at some of those, but I really focused on going over and over the questions that were in Outer Core and the Cybex questions. I used those two materials, and I went through the test multiple times. I mean, first time, you probably got 60% right. I kept going through them until I consistently got, you know, high 80s to 90, 90% right in the questions. Yeah. And that made me feel a lot more comfortable before taking the exam.
The reason why I'm asking is I would have wanted to see, you know, compare them. You know, I've taken the PM test, the preparation test, and now I'm at the computer in the test center, and it looks totally different, right? So that's what I would have loved to know.
Yeah, I found the questions on the exam were very comparable. I like the Cybex, so the Cybex seemed to be a little bit more rigorous than Outer Core, but they all track pretty well to the type of questions that were on the exam.
Okay, now, just want to put a disclaimer in here. We're not trying to sell the Cybex book or the Outer Core book or all the other books we're talking about. It's just that you have some books that are dominant in the PM preparation, PMP preparation. I mean, there's also Rita Mulcahy's book, which obviously you haven't used, and I did.
Yeah.
So it's just part of the process of getting through the test is looking at all these books and using them. Now, before you can even take the test, you have to be eligible to take it, and you have to sign on through the PMI website. Now, do you remember any of the eligibility requirements that you had? I think, what was it again?
The requirement primarily to sign up to be approved to take the exam requires a certain level of a number of educational hours that you've had in courses that would prepare you for the
35. PMP. I think that's what the course provides, 35, isn't it?
Yeah, the course itself will do that, but in order to qualify to take the exam, in some cases you haven't had the course yet, obviously, so... But you'll find that many classes you would have in college and what have you, math and other types of classes, are applicable. So I didn't find any particular challenge in meeting the educational requirements.
Right.
And then it's a requirement that you have experience in project management. I think it's 4,500 hours if you have a college degree, and it's 7,500 hours if you have an AA or less.
Yeah.
And in order to validate that, when you fill out the application, you have to indicate...
That's the online application.
The online application,
right.
Which is the one that took a little bit of time, not onerous, but took a little bit of time. You have to indicate all your previous employers, what project you worked on, mm-hmm. and what capacity? Were you the project manager? Were you the project coordinator? Because right. it takes the hours that you worked on a given project and multiplies them by a factor based on what type of project management position right. you were handling. And you also have to indicate a reference contact, probably the
person. Yeah, they don't take you on good faith, right?
Right,
you can get
right.
audited.
Right. There's a certain percentage of the applications that are audited, so you have to indicate who at that company can validate that you actually did
right.
the project management task.
Which can be difficult if, like in your case, the people are no longer at the company,
in,
right?
In mine, at least on two of the several companies I listed, yeah. my bosses are no longer with that company. So,
right.
But yeah. So that's probably the part of the application process that takes the longest, just getting your experience to document your hours of experience.
Yeah. In my case, it was even worse because I don't have a bachelor's degree. So I had to go the full 7,500 hours. The way I did it, however, the people that could verify this, they still worked at these companies. So I actually sent them an email prior to putting it in and said, hey, this is the hours that I'd like to submit. Is this okay from you?
Yeah.
So I have actually an email already, but I didn't get audited. So,
yeah.
Oh, well. Best laid plans. So you have the eligibility, then you sign on through the website, mm-hmm. and then you take the test. Now, did you do that all after you took the class, or did you do that before the class, or how
well,
did you?
The one thing I did is, in the middle of the class, first of all, I joined PMI,
okay.
because you do get a discount on the exam if you're a PMI,
right.
in my case,
mentor.
Orange County mentor. So I did do that. But then I went on to Prometric, the site, and I signed up for the test slightly before finishing the six-week
okay.
program. The
okay.
problem being, in this area, there's only one real test center, and it can have a pretty long backlog.
Anaheim, right?
It's in Anaheim.
Yes.
So that if you wait until after you're done with the classes, you may find it's several weeks before you can get a slot you want.
Yeah.
So in the class, they recommend that before you finish the 6 weeks, you do go ahead and sign up for it. The other part of it is it makes you focused. If you don't sign up for the exam and you have the classes, you may
yeah.
wander a little bit.
Yeah.
If you pick a date and you know you have to be ready by such and such a date, it keeps you focused and makes you study the material so you're
right.
ready.
Right. So the trick is get training, find a local class, be it a PMI sponsored class, be it a private company who offers these kind of classes. As you're going through the class, go to the Prometric website. That's the test center which they
company
using
that does
worldwide,
the testing centers,
right?
Correct. Yeah.
Sign up for the test, put a little pressure on yourself. And then once your class is over, there is some time between the end of your training to the actual test. Now, did you fill that time with actually learning additionally, or how did you just...
Yeah, I continue to kind of study, and
okay.
I normally probably in the 4 or so weeks prior to my taking the exam, probably studied on average a minimum of 2 hours a day up till, in some cases, maybe
yeah.
6 hours a
yeah.
day. Basically going through... I went through the Outer Core books probably two or three times. I went through the PMBOK two or three times.
Oh, so you read the PMBOK actually two or three
I
times?
I actually went through the PMBOK page by page.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I kind of went through the materials a lot. And then the last week or two, I focused on going over and over the test exams.
Okay.
Both the questions in the Outer Core material and the CYBEX yeah. tests.
Was there anything in particular that you focused on in the PMBOK that you would say, you know, this is very important. Look at this particular section in the PMBOK. You got to know this.
Yeah. I mean, you have to have obviously a general knowledge of all the materials in the PMBOK. But what I would recommend to people is in the PMBOK, there is a matrix that summarizes the 44 processes. There's like 5 process groups and 9 knowledge areas, and in that there are 44 key project management processes.
Yeah.
You need to know that. So I would start early in the classes memorizing that. Just write it down and keep doing that until you can map out the 44 processes. Then the next thing that I think is really key to preparing for the exam is for each of those 44 processes, there's inputs to the process, tools and techniques mm-hmm, the process mm-hmm. using outputs.
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions that focus on inputs, outputs, and tools and techniques.
So which are the tools and techniques
right.
for process ABC, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a lot to memorize. A lot of the inputs and outputs are common, so you know really focusing on the unique inputs and outputs of those 44 processes
mm-hmm.
is key.
Because
there are a lot of questions on the exam that will ask You know, which process is this an input for, an output for, or this is a tool, a technique of which process?
Okay.
So you really need to know that.
So how did you learn that? Just hours and hours and hours of repeatedly looking at these pages and going through and.
Yeah, in the PMBOK, all those tools, tech inputs, outputs tool are summarized. So what I did first of all is the original matrix of 44 processes. Every day. When I was studying, I would fill it out. I would just sketch it out on a piece of paper until the point where I had that down cold. Then I really started going over and over the inputs, outputs, and the tools and techniques. I just kind of made a point of studying those over and over and over again, particularly the last week prior to this exam. I focused on that. And in the critical path and the earned values and all the other things I felt more comfortable with, I focused on the inputs, the tools and techniques, and the outputs last week.
Right.
And just repetitive.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the actual test. Of course, we are not allowed to talk about the questions that you had or that I had during my test, but we can obviously discuss what it was like and what it was like for you in particular. Now, when you got into the test center and you signed up, they let you in the room, what was the first thing you did after you sat down?
Well, once the time counter for the exam starts, I did what they call like a mind map or a brain dump, which a lot of the instructors tell you to do. It's personal choice. But I wrote down that grid of 44 processes.
Oh, okay.
And then the second thing I did is I wrote down the key calculations for doing earned value calculations.
Okay, all the formulas, everything that you need.
Cost variance and schedule variance and all these different formulas that are part of the earned value. I wrote those down. Yeah. And that's all I pretty much did on my brain.
So in your daily routine of going through the training, you not only wrote down the 44 processes, but also the formulas as well on the same page. And this is what you put down the first few minutes in the test.
The type of things that when you got to a question that called those, you didn't have to waste a lot of time thinking about it. You could just refer to your dump sheet.
Of course,
And I did
exactly the same thing, actually.
And they, some of the... The Prometric doesn't allow you to bring anything in. They give you, I believe, 6 sheets of paper. You can get more later. Yeah. But you can't bring anything in with you, anything
and
you
a
write.
A pencil, of course.
Right. You have to have a number 2 pencil or a thing. And anything you write in that you can't take out with you, everything has to be left there. They give you a locker to lock things up. So nothing in and nothing out when you take the exam.
All right. Now, when I took the test 2 years ago, I'm obviously not a native English speaker. My biggest problem actually was that I felt almost as if I was taking an English test. Double negatives, triple negatives, it seemed to me like they wanted to trick me just in the way that the questions were formulated. Did you still find that or has that changed at all?
No, that's still very much the case. When I went through the PMI Institute training and the Outer Core books, they stress that over and over again. Read the question very carefully.
Right.
Watch for the the nots and the don'ts and the except. There's a lot of those type of adjectives or adverbs in there that you have to read carefully. But part of the intent is, as a project manager, you not only have to listen well, communication is a key part of being a project, but you certainly need to read and understand all the documents. So I think they're really testing your ability to really understand what you read.
Well, yeah.
But you have to be very careful about reading the question correctly.
How often do you get an email, you respond to it, and you figure out later on that you responded to the wrong question? Okay, so this is good training as well. Now, what was the test center itself like? What was the setup like?
The test center, there's an outside area where there's a receptionist. You sign in. They give you a locker to lock your cell phone, wallet. You can't, watches. You can't take any of this stuff in with you. And then they lead you into a room, which is just basically a bunch of cubicles.
Okay.
Depending on the training center, 20, 30, 40 cubicles. It's very quiet. You got people taking tests for all types of certifications. So you sit down in a small cubicle with a computer. It just has a small writing surface and a computer. And that's it.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to get up and go to the bathroom and things
of
that nature.
Of course, that counts against
your time. But right, the time is ticking while you're out. Some people will go out and bring a lunch in their locker and go out and eat a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's a comfortable training center, but it's nothing fancy. It's just a cubicle where you sit down and work.
All right. Did you use up all 4 hours that you had?
No, I think I finished in about a little over 3 hours. The exam does let you mark questions that you want to come back to.
Back, right?
So you can go back. So what I did is, they they teach you in the class, don't go back normally because your first intuition is normally right, and you'll talk yourself out of things in the training classes. They stress that. But I'd say there were probably 20 to 30 questions that I was either a little unsure of or some that I just didn't know at all, and I guessed and I marked those. And then I probably spent 20 minutes
reviewing,
going back.
Okay.
And in my case, I only changed one, I believe.
Okay.
But you are allowed to go back. So I ended up taking about 3 hours and 40 minutes for the whole thing before.
Okay, mine was 3 hours and 58.
So right,
but that was mainly because, like I said, the English to me was an issue.
Okay.
So my suggestion to the listener here is, if you have a chance to take the PMP exam in your native language, take it in your native language, because doing it in another language just adds so much more to the difficulty of these questions here.
Interesting. Yeah. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective.
How nervous were you when you pressed the final button and you said submit?
A little bit nervous. I mean, I knew that there were certain ones I just did not know.
Yeah, of course.
And the teachers will all say that. There are going to be some questions you just don't know. That's part of the process. But, you know, a little bit nervous. I was obviously very happy to see that I had passed it, because like all of us, you spend not only a fair amount of money to take the exam, but a lot of time. So the thought of having to go back and, you know, crack the books again is a daunting thought. But no, it takes about, 30 to 45 seconds for it to come back and say passed.
Longest
or sorry,
5 hours of your life.
So
right?
Yeah, I was a little bit anxious, I will have to admit. But
right. So that means that you passed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have to fall back on the PMIs actually lowering the score, right? Oh, wait, no, you told me that it happened before. They lowered the score before you took it or after you took it?
They lowered it before I took it, but they indicated that not all the testing centers may have that change in place. There was the potential that you would take the exam. I believe prior to the change, it was like 80... I think, for some reason, I got 81.7% in my mind, but it was like 80%, let's say, that you had to get correct to pass. But because the new exam was creating some challenges, PMI had decided to lower it. So I had got an email from one of the instructors indicating that PMI had lowered the percentage correct you had to get to pass. I forget what the percentage was. And that was prior to my taking the exam. But I did not know whether the Prometric Center I took the exam at now had the new percentage in place or not.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously
mm-hmm.
did, because I know I was below 80% in terms of what I got correct.
All right. Now, looking back, was the PMP exam what you had expected it to be with all the hours and time that you put into it?
For the most part, yes. What I was a little bit surprised on in the exam, where there were, without getting specific, there were less questions in certain areas that I would expected. Areas that when we went through the training, there was a lot of focus on.
Mm-hmm.
But in my particular exam, there are multiple exams, so we don't all take the same exams. There were less of certain types of questions than I expected. And there were more, I'll just say, situational type questions about if you're a project manager and this happens, or, you know, what should you do, or, you know, how should you handle it, or is this in terms of the professional standard of ethics with PMI, you know, what's the appropriate response? I found there were more questions of that nature that I struggled with. I could, of the four questions, every question has four answers.
Yes.
They all four can be right. Some cases it's what is the best of the four answers. I, in most cases, was quickly able to eliminate two.
Mm-hmm.
But I found on quite a number of questions, the last two I had a hard time differentiating for. And I'll be the first to admit, I'd say on probably over half of those, I guessed. I couldn't differentiate which of the two was the best answer.
Wow.
And that was a little bit harder than what I found in the Outer Core and Cybex test questions I had. I don't remember as many where I really felt somewhat unconfident as to which was the right answer.
Right.
But beyond that, it's a good mix of all the different disciplines that the 44 processes.
So you have to know it all.
You really have to have what they say, a mile wide and an inch deep.
You have
to have a grasp of it all. It's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
That's what they want a project manager to know, that you know a little bit about everything. You may not be an expert in earned value, but you know what it is, and you know the basic tenets of, you know, what earned value is all about.
Mm.
So you have to know it all.
Yeah. So having passed the PMP exam, now having the three letters behind your name, does it make you more marketable?
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, I've been doing some consulting for the last year, and there are a lot of project management jobs available out there in a contract consultant. And some of them will say PMP desirable, but I'd say 70% of them say PMP required. Mm-hmm. So it definitely improves your credentials, and I feel more comfortable that now that I've, after 15 or 20 years of working with projects, the whole process of going through this has helped me re-baseline my knowledge, mm-hmm. and, you know, give me some insight into project management that I probably didn't have before I took the exam. So it's definitely beneficial.
Yeah. Now, is the PMP going to help you with your current job search, do you think?
Probably a to be determined, but I would suspect so, because I think it does validate that, number one, you had the initiative to go through all the work it took to get the PMP, because there's a lot of hours of studying there. And it is a credential that's quite highly valued in the marketplace right now. So I've had a few interviews for project management situations over the last month or so, and for various reasons, none of those were quite right. But I definitely believe it improves your marketability.
Right. Well, let's say if one of our listeners had the perfect job for you, either as a project manager or as an IT executive, how could they reach you?
The best way to reach me was one of two things. I'll give you an email address and a phone number. My email address is Dale Brown, that's all one word together, followed by a 06, so that's Dale Brown 06, not an O, but a 06, at AOL.com is the standard email address I use. And my home phone number is 949-387-2508. So certainly I would appreciate any insight into
any leads that anyone
senior
may
IT positions and companies in the area or project management
opportunities.
Absolutely,
and I'll put those that information up on my blog as well. So if you haven't written it down, you don't have to. Just go to the blog and you will find the information there. Now, would you be willing to relocate for a job?
Yes. Ideally, I'm looking, but particularly Arizona, Nevada, Dallas, and Florida are key things. But yeah, for the right position, I'm willing to relocate anywhere in the United States.
So what's next in your career? Where do you see yourself going with the PMP? Any plans for other certifications down the road?
I love to learn. I'm always pursuing. I probably get a couple a year. Right now, I'm midway through my studies for the CISSP, which is the Certified Information Systems Security Professional.
Wow.
I do a lot of consulting, and that book's even bigger than the PMBOK, if you can believe it.
Is it just as boring?
It's funny. It's having been in IT for 20 years, many of these security issues, it's administrative, physical, and technical security, I've been involved with for quite a while. But this is back to, I'll say, a mile wide and an inch deep, like the PMBOK.
Yes.
You need to understand all the different security issues going on out there, but you don't have to be an expert in any one. That is another certification that's very much valued if you're going to be doing any type of security work, either full-time or on a consulting basis. And after that, I'm working on some other ones relative to Linux and some other operating system and software stuff. So I continue to pursue education. I enjoy it.
Well, let's move on to the final 10 questions. I always ask the same 10 questions to every project manager that I have on the show here. So what was your favorite project is number one here.
Dating myself a little bit, but most of you out there probably remember Y2K, right? Year 2000 and all the changes in the systems we had to do relative to the dates that were in your systems. That was probably one of my favorite because, first of all, it was a large project and it was comprehensive. It covered everything, hardware, software, all your technology, your processes. It was all-encompassing type project. I mean, multi-million-dollar projects for most companies involving hundreds of people.
And with a deadline, you couldn't.
And it was like a 2 or 3 year project because you had to start certainly by
97
or 98.
Right.
So that was one of my favorite projects.
Number two, is there a project out there that you would have liked to manage?
Yeah, there's a lot of the projects I manage are related to software. And in one company I was with, we put in both PeopleSoft, which was kind of pretty much an HR system, and Siebel, which is a CRM system. And I was involved as a member of the project team, but wasn't the lead project manager. And I would have liked to have been the project manager of those two projects.
Number three, do you have a favorite project management book?
No, the answer is really no. I use the PMBOK. Every place I've been, as I'm sure the listeners would relate to, pretty much have their own, if they have a methodology, which many don't, they have their own project management methodology. And so I use the PMBOK as just a basic reference, if you will, the Bible of project management, and that's my reference point.
All right. Number four, what is the topic of the next seminar that you're planning to attend? We already spoke a little bit about that, right? The certification you're working on?
Yeah, I'm generally either going to security type seminars, or mm-hmm. I've also done compliance consulting, and PMI has some breakfast sessions on SOX.
Sarbanes-Oxley.
I've been going to some of the Sarbanes-Oxley and/or HIPAA, which is a healthcare-related kind of version of Sarbanes-Oxley, if you will.
Number five, what is the best way to make a project fail?
To me, it's the charter and the scope up front. If you don't have a clear charter statement with your stakeholders and really are clear on objectives and deliverables, and then get the scope, any constraints involved with the scope, if those aren't crystal clear up front and agreed to by all the members, you aren't going to succeed.
Right. Number six, how do you like to celebrate a successful project?
In all the places where I've been involved and put together the methodology, we had a very formal kickoff where everybody that was anybody really was together. Mm-hmm. And likewise, at the closing, we have a very formal meeting where everything's reviewed, a presentation's done, we actually hand out awards. And depending on the company and what budget may be allowed, we'll actually, sometimes the main stakeholder financially, we'll actually have a little party, you know, where we'll get together offsite and do something simple to celebrate that. So, because I think recognition is all important in these type of things to keep people pumped up for their next project.
Right. Number seven, in your projects, where do you focus most of your attention in order to be successful?
A lot of it day-to-day, once assuming this charter and the scope and all the upfront things are done right, it's really focusing on the milestones on the critical path and the WBS. So really, you have to pay a lot of attention to the WBS, continue to modify it to the degree new things happen. Part of the change management process, but staying on top of the WBS and where we are, where the project really is relative to doing critical path earned value analysis. Are we really on schedule, on budget, or not? And so you have to keep on that on a daily basis.
Mm. Number eight, if you weren't a project manager, or in your case, if you weren't a project manager / IT executive, what would you like to be?
Well, I enjoy the IT arena. What I've found as I've gone along in my career is the people part of being IT is what I'm most passionate about, working with customers, whether it be internal or external. So I look for jobs that have an extremely high people interaction mm-hmm. content. In particular, right now, I think the job I'd most prefer would be, for example, being a regional representative for a company that sells a technology product. Okay. So I'm dealing with the customers, but also technically involved with the product the company sells.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Number nine, what is the one thing that a project manager cannot live without?
Well, in terms of behavioral attributes of a project manager, it's certainly being detail-oriented. You've got to be very detail-oriented. And number two, and you'll learn that in the classes, what's all important in being a project manager is communicating. Communicating with team members, communicating with stakeholders and shareholders. You've got to communicate every day and keep everybody on the same path. So communication skills and attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. And finally, number 10, the oldest question in project management. What's more important in a project manager? Project management skills or industry skills?
From my experience, it would be the project management skills. Certainly, the more you know about the given project you're running, that helps give you insight and maybe troubleshooting skills and certain skills in terms of how to set your WBS up. But the project management skills are clearly the most important. You need to know how to run a project. You need to know, what a project is all about. Because you can rely on your domain, your subject matter experts, mm-hmm. your domain experts that you're going to have in your team to have the, vertical expertise on that particular industry. But if you don't know how to run a project and know what the basic project management methodologies are, you're not going to be successful. Because the project manager is the one that's ultimately accountable for that project failing or being successful. So project management skills are definitely the most important.
Dale, thank you very much for having been on the show. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. I enjoyed the process.
I have two requests for all of you out there. Have you recently taken the Project Management Professional Certification exam outside of the United States? If you did so, please drop me a quick line and tell me your experience. Tell me if your experience outside the United States matches what you have just heard from Dale. And my second request for you is, have you recently taken another PM certification? Maybe Prince, are you maybe now Prince 2 certified? I would love to have you as an interview guest on the show and talk to you what your path was like so we can see the comparison right there. And now, we are ending today's show with a review of a new podcast on project management. Today's Good, Bad and Ugly review is about the new project management related podcast by Jerry Manis. He has produced 2 episodes so far. In January it was the 3 P's of project management, and in February it was Economy of Force. You can find both these episodes through his website pmthink.com. We've talked about PMThink earlier today in the helpful resources. They call themselves the latest word in project and portfolio management. And they really produce a lot of words through that website. And I was really excited when I saw that Jerry is now also podcasting. Well, let's take a look at these 2 episodes. The January episode was 12 minutes long and called the 3 P's of Project Success. And he starts out by quoting a study in Computer World, and he says,
"Now, there were 3 primary areas where they felt that project management was suffering from. One is managing global and virtual teams. That's a challenge for everybody, trying to manage teams where the players are all over the world. Another one is focusing on the right work, what we call project portfolio management, or PPM. And the third area is managing multiple stakeholders and complex projects, and this includes offshore vendors and managed services, and trying to keep upper management, senior management, or middle management, everybody on the same page. So there's diverse audiences to satisfy, so project management is no longer about just following a charter."
He then continues to reason that we are focusing in our projects too much on processes and rules, and we are not focusing enough on what he calls these 3 P's: the importance of principle, the importance of the past, and the importance of people. And of course, the last statement, that could just as well have come from myself, because how many times have you heard me say here that PM stands just as much for people management as it stands for project management? Jerry goes on, and he goes into explaining what he means by this, by these 3 P's, and how to implement them into your projects and improving your project management life. And in doing so, believe it or not, he even manages to talk about the invention of the toilet. Trust me, he makes great arguments. He makes great arguments, that is, if you can actually hear him. I've had an email conversation with Jerry last week, and he acknowledged that the first podcast was not recorded loud enough. At one point in this episode, you can crank your iPod all the way up, and you will barely hear a whisper. That's much better in his second episode, titled Economy of Force.
"Welcome to the February podcast of PM Think, Project Management Thought Leadership. I'm Jerry Manis. Today we're going to talk about economy of force. Economy of force is an age-old military concept that's just as applicable to organizational project management as it is to the military field."
Just as in his first podcast, Jerry explains how this concept is applied to your project. For instance, we all know that we need to use our resources wisely and not throw dozens and dozens of people at a problem. This will only cause logistical and communications problem. That's what the economy of force concept is all about. He fills the rest of the 8-minute episode again with great arguments and tips on how to apply this to your projects. And as I said, this time round, the volume much, much better. In both episodes, Jerry makes it clear to us that there is one major reason why he's doing this podcast. He is trying to sell a book. He has just written a book about Napoleon as a project manager. But the good thing is, Jerry doesn't do this in your face. He mentions this as an offhanded way, and it's just like, yeah, I got a book. And here is another tip for you. On a technical note, I also noticed that each episode that Jerry produced so far was made available on the web through iTunes as a separate podcast. If this were television, it would almost mean as if his January episode was shown on CNN on Saturday evenings, while his February episode was broadcast Tuesday afternoon on BBC. So it's almost impossible to find out when his next show is going to be shown and on what channel. I only came across them, both of them, by sheer luck, because I was looking. You can find a link to both these episodes on my blog and also on the pmthink.com front page. You can find them on the right-hand side a little further down. I alerted Jerry to this problem, and he's currently working on this, and once he's got it fixed, I'm going to give you an update so that you can subscribe to the correct feed, because he's really got a lot to say here. My verdict? Jerry has a lot to say, and Jerry has a book to sell. His tips are excellent and full of thought. And in regards to his book, let me compare him to the Project from Hell podcast. Both the Project from Hell podcast and Jerry Manas podcast have a product to sell. While I still think that the Project from Hell podcast has too much of a cliffhanger concept, they're trying to give you a teensy-weensy little bit and then draw you into their website. Jerry has chosen the value-based approach instead. In both his episodes, he gives you lots and lots of good concepts that you can learn from and that you can apply in his project, in your projects. So this is so good, it almost makes you want to buy his book. I like what Jerry has to say, and the technical issues that he currently has do not at all diminish the value of his content. That's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. In our next show, we will very likely have another interview for you. I have three interviews lined up, one on soft skills, one on Sarbanes-Oxley, and one about a turnaround project. Well, let's see which one of my interview partners is going to be available first for you. As always, you can find us on the web at pmpodcast.blogspot.com or send your emails to pmpodcast@gmail.com. And when you write, please tell me where in the world you are writing from. And finally, we have this. Of several possible interpretations in a given communication, the least convenient one is the correct one. With that, make a point this Monday morning to stop by at the desk of your team members and chat with each one of them for a few minutes. Until next time.